Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
But in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side.
Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We've been talking about in the first few verses, we talked about the blessings from the Father, that in the past that God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And what part of that is that He chose us, right? And I meant to bring y'all a little copy. I found something in one of my other Bibles, and it kind of broke down all the blessings that actually go through the book of Ephesians. And I'll try to remember to bring that to y'all next week. But there's a lot of blessings. He says He's given us all spiritual blessings, right? Not physical blessings, but spiritual blessings. And He chose us. That's one of the things He did. He chose us that we would be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. And the reason He chose us is He wanted to adopt us as children, right? As sons by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And that was always, we see three times, we'll see to the praise of His glory, right? It's always to God's glory. God always gets the glory. We can't do anything. The Bible says the only way we make it to heaven is through Jesus Christ, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Him. And then the last time we were here, we talked about verses 7 and 8, and I really didn't get past really verse 7 and 8 because He says, in Him, and this is blessings from the Son in the present, because God the Father called us and chose us and adopted us in the past. And of course we know that somehow, some way, that all works with our free will, our I don't know if there's such thing as free will, but He chose us. We love Him because He first loved us. And somehow, some way, He says, whoever believes. So God chose and we believe, and the two somehow or another work together. We don't know how that works, but God's God and we're humans and we can't understand the minds of God. So His ways are higher than our ways. The next thing we saw was verse 7, in Him we have redemption. Through His blood. Through whose blood? Jesus' blood, right? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And we really spent the whole time last time talking about redemption. That God, all the way back in the Old Testament, He redeemed Israel, right? And that word redemption means to buy back. And literally it had to buy back out of the slave market of sin is what He did. Because the Bible tells us that we're enslaved by our sin, we're enslaved by our fears, and we're enslaved by the devil. Hebrews talks about being in bondage, in fear of death all our lives. Now, we don't have to be afraid of dying if we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. So we don't like the way we go, but we don't have to be afraid of going because we just pass straight into heaven if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so redemption, He buys us back. And how did He buy us back? Through His blood, right? And He gives us the forgiveness of sins. He forgives all of our sins according to His riches and grace. I mean, He's so rich, He's so graceful. He gives us something we don't deserve. And then it said in verse 8, which He made abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. It's His wisdom and His wonderful counsel that goes together, that he knows what to do, and he also gives us wisdom, and he also gives us understanding because of who he is when we trust Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 9 today. We're going to start in verse 9. He says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Remember, we're still talking about the things that come because of redemption. These are the things that happen now. And so he makes known to us the mystery of his will. And, you know, mystery is not like we watch these TV shows and it's like a whodunit. But in the Old Testament, there was many truths that were taught about. And it says that the Old Testament prophets, they looked into these things, desired to understand what they were even writing down. You know, a lot of these Old Testament prophets wrote stuff down and they really didn't understand everything they were writing, right? If they did, they would have known that Jesus was the Christ. Of course, if they would have really read their Bible, they would have known that. But the way it was written, they didn't understand everything. And there were things that were hidden. And one of the things that was hidden, and that's what this word mystery talks about, that it's a previously hidden truth that God reveals to us now today. And one of the things we'll find out that as he was going to put the Jews and the Gentiles in the church together, and there'd be a body and a building, and all these things are going to happen. The mystery of the church and his body and all these things, he did it on his own, right? He made known to us the mystery of his will. I mean, think about this, folks. We have the mind of Christ, right? Isn't that what it says in Colossians? We have the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2, we have the mind of Christ. We know things. I've heard it put this way before, that we're smarter than the guy that has maybe 14 PhDs behind his name. Because you know what? We know the things that God has shown us. You ever heard that old thing about the scientists? They're climbing up the hill of the hill of knowledge, and when they get to the top, they find a theologian sitting at the top, and they've been sitting there for thousands of years, right? I mean, you know, we look at our Bible, and our Bible tells us what? It tells us about the circle of the earth. If Columbus would have just read his Bible, he would have known that the earth is a circle, right? If they would have just read their Bible, they would have known that the sun goes in a circuit. If they would have just read their Bible, they would have known that the seas have currents and the winds have currents. And they would have known so many things because there's so many things written in here that God has told us that we didn't even know until this century, right? But you know, the bottom line is there's so much stuff in here. And God hid a lot of stuff because it wasn't ready to be revealed, right? Yeah. And so he hides it, and he it says here that he's made known to us the mystery of his will. Who's that? That's the children. That's the children of God, the people who have been adopted, the saved people. And we know what his will is. And he did it how? According to his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? That's the thing that he purposed in himself, right? One man wrote it right this way. The purpose is God's own free determination, originating in his own gracious mind. And what he does for us is dictated by what's good for us. How about that? You know, he doesn't just do stuff willy-nilly, right? God has a purpose behind everything. Says God works what? All things together for good, right? To them that love him, those that are his children. He's working out a purpose. He's revealing to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in himself. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So let's talk about that for just a minute, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. That word dispensation, maybe you've heard of people, they're dispensationalist, and some people can get carried away with that just like they can with the adoption and the choosing and all that stuff. And you can go too far and you can read so much into this Bible that you're reading stuff in there that God never wrote, right? Some people, you know, you can use a little bit of sanctified imagination with your Bible when God tells you something and say, well, maybe it happened this way. But some people read so many details into the Bible that they start making up stuff that God never told us. And if he wanted us to know, he would do what? He would tell us, right? What he says here is he purposed in himself that in the dispensation, what is a dispensation? It's a season or an administration. You know, God dealt with Adam and Eve in one way, right? I mean, he dealt with them in a way. He walked with them in a garden and he could spend time with them. But after they sinned, what happened? He couldn't walk with them in the garden. And what did he do after that? He began to deal with Abraham and Noah and all these people in a different way. And he had them build a tabernacle. And God dwelt in a tabernacle. You know, it's been said that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, right? And he walked among them. And then he lived among us temple, but you really couldn't approach him. And then when he was on earth, he walked among us again as Jesus. But now what does he do? He lives inside of us. So that's all we're talking about when you talk about a dispensation, that at different times, in different periods of times, the Old Testament, God gave the law, right? But ultimately, you were saved by grace through faith the same way. They were looking for Jesus, but Jesus hadn't come yet. And now today, he deals with us a little bit differently. And one day, he's going to deal differently with those people in the book of Revelation, right? When the tribulation comes, things are going to be a little bit different. And that's all that's talking about. So don't, you know, get wound up about that term dispensation and about choosing and adopting. And don't get wound up about all those things. Some people get so wound up about them, but you don't need to. And so he says in the dispensation are the season of the fullness of times. What is the fullness of time? At the right time, right? It's that word kairos. It means at the right time, the right season, the right time, God's going to do the right thing, right? I mean, Jesus came into what? Fullness of times. He came at the proper time, at the right time, Christ died for us on the cross. I mean, when we just got through going through the whole book of John, and what did the book of John say? Jesus said six times, my hour has not yet come, right? It wasn't time for him to go to the cross. It wasn't time for them to crown him king. So he walked through the crowd. They couldn't kill him. They couldn't crown him. They couldn't do anything to him until the 13th chapter. And the Gentiles come to him and the Jews have rejected him. And finally, what does he say? He says, my hour is at hand. And then we went through the next four chapters. And Jesus spent time with his disciples, telling them about he was leaving and all he was going to do. And then the next thing that happens is he goes to the cross, right? Because it was the right time. But they, you know, he told Pilate, you can't do anything unless I did it. He said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So God, Jesus, gave up his life and he took it back up again. It says, at the proper time that he might gather together in one, all things in Christ. In other words, what's he doing? He's going to sum everything up in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that everything that was in the garden, when God created everything, he said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. The only thing he said wasn't good, that man was alone, right? That he needed a helpmeet, that he needed a woman to help him do the things that he was going to do, live the way he was supposed to live. And without a woman, a man is half a man. We need a woman. Once that, he said it was all good. Here we are, and he says he's going to bring everything all together in one in Jesus Christ. That what happened in the garden? What happened? God created everything. It was good until man sinned. But what happened back in that day? Man could walk with God. He could be with God. He could fellowship with God freely. But after they sinned, and see, this whole book, this whole Bible, you know what it really is? It's a story of how man, God created the heavens and the earth, and man fell. And the rest of the whole Bible is a picture of how man keeps walking off away from God. He never on his own can get his life straight without God. And that one day, God, through Jesus Christ, has redeemed it all. And even in the Millennium Kingdom, y'all know that, right? The Millennium Kingdom, what happens? Some of the people go into heaven in their earthly bodies. They have children. Those children, after 1,000 years, they rebel against God and try to kill God. And God's living right there amongst them, just like he did in the garden, in the beginning. And so what has God proven? That man on his own can't live without God, can't do anything without God. That he says, I can do nothing on my own, but with Christ I can do what? All things, right? And so he wants to sum it all back up in Christ. So what is he doing? He's redeeming everything back to himself. And what he's going to do is ultimately get us back to where we were before the garden, before that fall in the garden, except for we won't be able to ever sin again at that point, right? When we're in heaven, we'll be totally holy, totally God-like, as much as we can be like God, and we won't be able to sin anymore. We won't be robots, but we won't be able to sin anymore. That's God's plan, that he wants to bring everything together in Jesus Christ, in him, is what he says. And so that's pretty neat, I think, that God is redeeming everything. In the millennium, everything will be restored and brought together unto Christ. But that doesn't suggest that everybody will be saved. It just means sin's disorder will be removed and a universal peace will be established. But one day, all of that's going to be straightened out, right? There won't be any more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow. And that's the way it's going to all end. And that's the good thing, is one day we won't have to worry about that anymore, right? And he's doing it all through what? In him, right? In Jesus Christ, right? So let's look at the next thing, and we probably won't get very far with this in verse 11. The next thing we're going to talk about is our inheritance in the future. Do you know that we have an inheritance in the future, folks? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this first, next, this little section here. In verses 11 through 14, there's two divisions, and I hadn't really seen this before. But there's two divisions. Verses 11 and 12 deal with the Jews. Verses 13 and 14 deal with the Gentiles. That's us, right? I don't think anybody here is Jewish, are they? And verses 11 and 12 describe the inheritance of the Jews, and verses 13 and 14 describe the inheritance of the rest of us. And both of us, the Jews and the Gentiles, have one inheritance. And ultimately, he's going to come back in verse 12 and in verse 14, and he's going to tell us again that it's to the what? Praise of his glory. It's all about God, folks. Remember, this life is not about us. You know, that's why I get so frustrated with all these TV shows. Who wants to be a millionaire? Who's smarter than a fifth grader? All that tells us is we're focused on ourselves. And who we think we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. But you know what? It's all about him. It really is. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We also see in these verses that divine sovereignty, and we also see the human responsibility, that God saves us, but it's not without us believing. Remember that. There's always two sides to that. No matter what anybody else tells you, God's sovereign, and I don't know how he works it out, but man's responsible. God says, Jesus died and I chose you, but you have to believe to be saved. How that works, I have no idea. Anybody that tells you they do, they're reading a lot into this Bible that's not there. That's all I can tell you. I told a guy that a few years ago, and he got mad with me. I said, I don't know where you're reading. You're reading between the lines a lot of stuff. Let's look at verse 11. It says, notice, remember how many times we said in him, through him, and by him in this book. It's like 26 times he says in him in just these little short six chapters. It's just in him, in him, in him, in him, by Christ, through Christ. And so what does he say here? He says in him. We just got through an in him that he's going to sum everything up. Then he starts the next section. In him. I think your English teacher would probably try to fail you if you wrote in him and then started the next sentence with in him. But in him also, not only the things that we just saw, but also we have an obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. All right, so in him we've also obtained an inheritance. And we could go through the whole book of Hebrews, and we could look at that. In Hebrews chapter 9, I just want to read verses 13 through 17. You're welcome to turn there if you want to. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who were called may receive the promises or eternal life. And the next verse says, for where there is a testament, there also must be the necessity of the death of a testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. In other words, what has to happen before we can get an inheritance? Somebody has to die, right? I mean, usually they don't just say, okay, here, it's yours now, that you have to wait. That's the unfortunate side of it, is somebody, you have to lose somebody to get something. Well, guess what? Jesus had to die for us to get our inheritance, right? That's the reason we have the Old Testament and the what? The New Testament, right? I mean, to me, you know, and I've said this before, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, I don't think so, but he talks about a testator. Who's a testator? The person who is the person who has a will, right? And you could call this, I think, the old will and the new will. The Old Testament, the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, God was telling us all the things that we were going to have. And then when Jesus dies, we have the new will. And it's through Jesus. And all these things are going to be different. You're going to live a different way. You're going to get an inheritance. You're going to trust in Christ. And you know, the Old Testament Jews, heaven's going to be a little bit different for them. It's not going to be quite the same. They trusted in Jesus to come, but they didn't know as much as we know about Jesus Christ. We're going to get an inheritance. Let me read you a couple more verses. I don't know if you can turn there or not. 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. He says, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ and Christ is God's. Let me read you another couple of verses. This is one of my favorites right here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And he starts out, says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. What is this inheritance? It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It does not fade away for you. It is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. So what does that say? That God, through his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. We've been saved through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It can't be what's corruptible stuff. He says, don't store up your treasures where moth and rust, where moths eat and rust tears up your metals. And what happens? That stuff just rusts, right? I mean, as soon as we buy a car, as soon as we buy anything, what starts happening to it? It starts getting old. It starts getting wore out, right? Everything gets older, gets worn out, just like us too, right? And everything corrupts, everything gets old, everything rusts or, you know, gets in bad shape. But you know what? He says here that your inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's pure, in other words. It does not fade away. It, you know, some things fade away, right? You can get a beautiful flower or a beautiful picture, and one day you look at it and it's all faded. What happened to you? You got a beautiful shirt and you wash it a few times. All of a sudden it's like, that shirt ain't the right color anymore. You know, it fades away, right? And then what does he say? It's reserved in heaven for you. It's like, you know, you call the hotel and say, hey, I'm showing up at the hotel at 6 o'clock on Friday, June the 14th, and I'll be there. And then you show up, and the guy says, I got your reservation. And you show up on Friday, June the 14th at 6 o'clock, and he says, Mr. McKenzie, we don't have a room for you. What you mean? I called 2 weeks ago, and you reserved a room. No, don't have a room for you. He gives us a spot. He reserves it for us. Nobody can take it away for us, right? And here's the best part of it. He says that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. That tells us that God's power is what keeps us saved. You know that? If it was up to us to be saved, we'd never make it to heaven, would we? Because how many times do we mess up? I mean, some of these people, you know, talk about if I sin and I do something wrong and I don't ask God to forgive me and then I die before I ask God to forgive me, I ain't going to make it to heaven. But what does God say? He says, whoever believes shall be saved. Not maybe, not hope so, not if you ask me to forgive you before you sin. He says when Jesus died, he paid what? All our sins, right? Not just some of them. When he died on our cross, he paid for all of our sins, folks. And he's got a place reserved for us in heaven. You know, we were singing the song, Standing on the Promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So all the promises of God are yes and amen. In other words, it's going to happen, folks, right? We got an inheritance. Just remember, this is as bad as it ever gets, right? This is as bad as it ever gets for the believer. We know Christ is our Lord and Savior. He says the suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven. We're having a tough time now. We go through tough times as believers. You know what? Everybody goes through tough times. But you got your choice. You can either go through your tough times because of Jesus Christ, or you can go through the tough times because you mess up your own life and do all the stupid stuff, right? I mean, that's really the choice. You know, you can pay me now or pay me later. The old Midas commercial says you can pay me now or you can pay me later. You can pay God his due now and get eternity in the inheritance forever. Or you can ignore God now and you can pay him later for eternity. You know, Paul, he was locked up in that horrible prison. I mean, he was chained. He couldn't get loose. It was filthy. It was nasty. It was horrible. And you know what he says? This is a momentary light affliction that works a far exceeding eternal work of glory. And so, folks, remember that we're just passing through this old world. This old world isn't our home. And that God's got all this stuff reserved for us in heaven. We've got an inheritance. And he's done it for us because he loves us. Why don't we close and pray today and sing that last song. I'm trying to remember what it was, but we'll ask you in a second. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we just thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, that you chose to adopt us and redeem us, and you did all this before we ever existed. We don't know how it works. We just know that you're a wonderful God, and it's to the praise of your glory that you do all things according to the counsel of your good will. That one day you're going to bring it all back together because of Jesus Christ, through him and in him and by him and for him. And one day that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, because what he's done. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made. Help us to be glad and rejoice in it. We'll just give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission. Reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.